Welcome back to another chapter of To Honesty and Comeuppance, an Attack on Titan fanfiction written by yours truly, Tolstoy Ackerman. You can find this fanfiction hosted on AO3, either by going to AO3 and searching for the title of this fic, or by searching for my pen name, Tolstoy Ackerman, two words. Standard disclaimer, I do not own Attack on Titan, I only own the original characters here within, and this is entirely non-for-profit. Thanks for coming back for another chapter, let's dive in. Without further ado, let's get into Chapter 23. Chapter 23, New Inventory. Keep him from doing anything dumb, Himmel said to Ymir, and then jumped onto the branch the boys were on. Both of them broke off their quiet conversation, but their expressions were severe. Well, come on, Himmel said to them. I'm on your side now. If you're making a plan, I need in on it, because you guys are fucked without me. They exchanged a look, their hesitation clear. She pressed. They're getting closer every second. They're faster than we thought they'd be, I know. But stay calm. Tell me what needs to be done, and we'll do it. The two of them almost looked relieved that there was someone else to shoulder this burden. I don't know if we can trust Ymir. She ate one of us when she was a Titan, Bertolt said. That's exactly why we can trust her, Reiner said. She knows what her situation is. She just wanted to get a new lease on life until she met Krista, and now she'll do anything for her. She'll get us Krista. We'll take the two of them back with us. Krista's an important person in the Wallace Church. If it turns out that Eden isn't the coordinate, having her will make our mission easier. Bertolt was nodding, but Himmel was wondering what in the fuck they were talking about. Someone got eaten by Ymir? Coordinates? Krista? Faintly, Himmel recalled the information the Wallace priest had given them, that Krista could answer their questions about the walls. But she had never seemed particularly knowledgeable, and Himmel had halfway thought it was the priest's attempt of getting out of the range of Levi's fists. What's this coordinate? She asked. We don't have time to explain now, but it's what we came here to get, Reiner said quickly. What's it do? What we need it to do, Reiner snapped. This time, when the flares went up, they could hear the bangs that accompanied them. Reiner and Bertolt flinched as if they'd been shot at. Okay, fill me in on the rest later, then, Himmel said. Where do we need to get to? Shiganshina, probably, Bertolt said. Himmel sighed. That's a solid 175 kilometers from here. The horses won't make it. How do you know? I had supply lines from Shiganshina before Walmaria fell. I know all of the roads and landmarks. The only way we're going to make it is if Reiner runs us there. I'll be swarmed by Titans. Himmel gave him a hard look. Well, it's a good thing my blades don't break, and I'm a powerful fighter who never tires, apparently. I don't like these odds. Our odds are only worsening the longer we hem and haw, she reminded them, nodding to the green and red flares. Oi, what the fuck are you three talking about? Eden yelled. Reiner rolled his eyes. I'm getting sick of him. Well, go do something about him then, Himmel said. Reiner went to tie up Eden, but Eden, despite having stumps where his hand and foot should be, lurched at Reiner and nearly knocked him off the branch. Himmel watched the two of them brawl and brought Ymir over to stand out of the way. Bertolt and Ymir started talking about the person Ymir ate, or something, and meanwhile, Himmel tried to figure out how in the fuck she was going to make this work. She couldn't think of anything neat. It was all too messy. Do you remember who you ate? Bertolt asked Ymir. No, I feel bad that I can't remember. Don't. None of us remember it either. Eden doesn't seem to remember as well. Had they all eaten people? Was she surrounded by a bunch of cannibals? It felt like I was wandering around in a nightmare for 50 years, Ymir said quietly. God, her head hurt. Wait, Bertolt said that none of them remembered the person they ate. At the very least, it meant that Ymir, Bertolt, and Eden had gotten their powers by eating someone. Was that how the powers were transferred? If that were the case, simply sending their heads flying when they trusted her would mean that the powers could die with them, and they would be absolute fucking fools to throw away these weapons. Great, there went her newest plan of just killing all of them. She needed to keep them alive, and she needed to make sure that the Survey Corps knew it as well. They'd be out for blood unlike anything else, she was sure. So if she couldn't capture them on her own, and killing them was off the table, what in the fuck could she do? We're not dealing with guards and merchants anymore. We need to adapt. He was right, and she had told him he was right when she had last seen him, when she was preparing to head to Utgard. How had she forgotten already? Again, she was trying to act like this was the Undercity and she could do everything on her own. But if these past few days should have taught her anything, it was that she was wildly out of her depth. She shouldn't have tried to do this on her own. Though, in her defense, she had thought that Ymir would take her side, and it was quite a surprise that she had sided with Bertolt and Reiner. But if she could get Ymir back on her side, then maybe, just maybe, they stood a sliver of a chance. "I have a plan," Himmel said. Reiner had just managed to knock Eren out and was tying a gag around his mouth so he couldn't bite anything. Everyone looked to Himmel. "We need Krista and another set of ODM gear. Ymir and I will go get them and meet you back here." "You want to leave him with them?" Ymir snapped. "He's the one they killed everyone for, and we're just the fucking desserts." "Yeah, but they're not going anywhere without the horses or ODM gear. This will be a great trust exercise." Bertolt considered them and then said, "You could lead them straight back to us." "I could, you're right. And you two could make a mad dash with Eren. But you have my word that I'll come back." She extended a hand to him, and he looked at it for a long moment before shaking it firmly. Reiner nodded to the both of them. "Make it quick," he said. Himmel wrapped her knuckles on her thigh, an undercity gesture they probably wouldn't notice, she realized belatedly, and took her dagger out of her boot. She uncoiled the little spool of ODM gear wire she kept around her arm under her jacket and tied it around the haft before lobbing it at the ropes that kept one of the horses tethered. Ymir got on her back and looped her arms around Himmel's neck, which was awkward because of the height difference, until she hiked herself up to sit on top of the ODM gear. "This is terrible," Ymir said. Himmel laughed. "It's only going to get worse from here on out. You boys make a ruckus to keep the Titans focused on you." While Bertolt and Reiner raised their voices and made all the Titans look at them other than a few abnormals, Himmel went further into the trees and away from the Titans before whistling for her horse. "Are you serious?" Ymir hissed. Himmel eyeballed it. Three abnormals hovered around the horse and looked up at them hungrily. "Don't let go of me," was all she said, and then she leapt down as Ymir gave a little shriek. The more she did this, danced with the Titans and wove through their fingers and passed their teeth to their soft napes, Himmel thought that maybe this was what she was made to do. Even with Ymir on her back and nearly choking her, she only felt a calm, mild exhilaration, like reading an exciting book or leaping from a particularly high building to land in a soft pile of straw. She felt oddly detached and confident. Before she knew it, she'd downed all three of the Titans, gotten on the horse, and sped off northwards to head off the Survey Corps. Ymir peeled herself off Himmel's back. "You really are batshit, you know that?" "I'm well aware. Listen, though, what made you decide to go with Bertolt and Reiner?" Ymir's silence was loud. "I don't like being the only one in the dark," Himmel pressed. "Didn't you grow up in the dark? I thought you'd be more comfortable with it." Himmel gritted her teeth. "I decided to go with them because I thought it'd keep everyone in the wall safe. Is that not the case?" "There's nowhere that's truly safe." "Quit it with all these fucking non-answers," Himmel said, finally losing her cool. "I thought you and I were friends. I thought I could trust you. Even after I learned that you could change into a Titan, I still thought of you as my friend, sister even." "Oh, is that why you were about to cut off my head?" "No, that's why I stayed my fucking hand," she snapped back. Himmel felt Ymir sigh and soften against her back. "Sisters of the Dark Alleys. Listen, it's nothing personal. If I had it my way, I would have just kept living out my life here with Krista, but things changed last night in ways that you can't understand. Not saying that you're stupid, I know you're not, just... there's things that have to be seen to believe. When we get Krista and we get back to their hometown, you'll get it." Unconsciously, Himmel put a hand to her chest over her peculiar heart. There certainly were things that needed to be seen to be believed. "Is it true that life in the walls will end?" she asked. "Sooner or later," Ymir said heavily. "All life ends, doesn't it?" "And if we give them Eren and Krista, it'll keep everyone else alive longer?" "It'll buy them quite some time, I imagine." "And there's no way we can destroy their hometown?" Ymir rested her chin on Himmel's shoulder, her voice low and soft as it caught in the shelf of her ear. They sent 3 kids here, and 1/3 of humanity was wiped out. What do you make of those odds? The skies had suddenly drifted down to the earth and were crushing Himmel. It all felt so bleak. Whether she stayed in the walls or whether she went to this hometown, the end result would surely be nothing but suffering. You were planning on killing them, weren't you? Ymir said. I really just wanted information at first, but now I don't know. You know it would be bad to kill them, and you know it would be bad to stay here. Come with them. They'll kill me when I get to their hometown, and I want... Ah, Ymir did eat their friend. Execution seemed fitting, even at a cursory glance. Heavily, Himmel realized what Ymir was asking. You want me to look out for Krista. She's such an idiot. She'll walk right into the worst situations just because it might help someone. And thanks to that, she'll go along with you the moment you ask, Himmel said. The wind whistled between them as Ymir waited for her to say, Yes, I'll take care of Krista when you're gone. Are you going to stay here then? Ymir said, her voice turning bitter. Writhe in a cage for a few years? Himmel bit down on her lip under her bandana. Can I tell you a secret? Ymir gave a mirthless snort. Sure, why not? The first 7 or so years of my life, I was tied down to a bed in one room. I thought it was the entire world. So what? You're in a bigger, better cage and now you're satisfied with that? Ymir said coldly. Well, no. I don't think I'm ever satisfied with where I am. But I am satisfied with the people I'm with. And how are you going to use your selfishness? Are you going to choose to spend more time with them and make yourself happy? Or are you going to betray them so they can be happy for a little longer? That was the crux of it, really. Himmel had leapt off the wall with the intention of choosing the former and returning to Levi. She had promised she'd come back to him after all. But now she had all these half-truths and half-secrets, and she had no idea what to do with them. What was the best outcome for everyone? The longer you hesitate, the more precious people you care about are going to die out here today. And if you hadn't jumped off the wall with us, who knows if it would have come to this at all. You need to own up to it. Himmel made a sound that was caught between a laugh and a sob. They were entering woods now that stretched for a kilometer. Here they would encounter the forward group, and Himmel had to decide by then. Ymir's grip tightened around her neck in a light chokehold that she could intensify whenever it suited her. So what's it going to be? I need to know. Are you going to kill me if I say I won't let you guys take Eren or Krista? Her response was squeezing Himmel's neck hard enough that little black spots floated across her vision. Quickly, Himmel threw a hard elbow into Ymir's gut that made her cough and slacken her grip. I put you behind me because I wasn't scared of you, Himmel said. Don't think you can intimidate me into doing what you want. What if I transformed right now? Himmel laughed. Do it. I'll just carve you out again, and I'll make sure you can't transform again soon. Ymir growled and said, Hurry the fuck up and decide then. You know, you really did me dirty when you sided with them, Himmel said, only a little desperately. Everything had hinged on her cooperation, and without it, Himmel didn't see any way of winning against Reiner and Bertolt. But on top of that, Himmel wanted to fight Ymir even less than she wanted to fight Reiner and Bertolt. Those two had stolen into their home, destroyed a third of it, and then pretended to be their friend for 3 years. Like the pleasure that came with a particularly good slash of the blade, Himmel yearned to inflict pain on them, even if she would be left with wounds, too. But Ymir had hidden this part of herself from them. Yes, but Himmel didn't think poorly of her for it. After all, it was Himmel who had not only hidden that she was a Sabakia, but also that she could come back. She was in no position whatsoever to be upset with someone else for keeping secrets. Besides, she had a lot of good memories with Ymir from Cadet Corps. Ymir was the only one who had lived a similar life, who could tell the grimmest of jokes and cackle, who could get into a shit situation and grit her teeth and barrel through it. Himmel had always imagined having at least a few years of fun together in the Survey Corps before Ymir decided to go her own way. And now she was trying to take Krista with her, and Himmel knew that Krista would go without a second thought. Krista was her own person. If she wanted to go with Ymir, Himmel wouldn't object. But now that it was becoming evident that Krista was nearly as important as Eren, she would have to keep Krista from leaving, even if it was her deepest wish. Just thinking of forcing the two apart made Himmel's heart hurt, even as the flurry of thoughts and plans was beginning to calm and settle into her stance. "This is bullshit," Himmel said. "Welcome to the land of the living," Ymir said mirthlessly. "So what's it going to be?" The soldiers were within eyesight. They were waving at them, and Himmel threw up a hand in greeting. They would cross paths in less than 10 seconds. She was out of time. Himmel gripped the reins and wished the leather's bite would cut through the miserable dread in her head. Then she swallowed and said, "There's only 4 of them. We'll throw them into the trees and knock them out and grab their gear." Ymir leaned closer against Himmel in a grateful embrace. "Sisters of the Dark Alleys. And Krista?" "Yeah," Himmel said heavily. "I'll look out for her. No matter what else happens today, you have my word on that." She could feel Ymir stiffen slightly at her choice of words, but that was fine. Let her doubt where Himmel's heart lay. Himmel herself wasn't sure yet. Himmel took her hands off of the reins to pull on the triggers of her gear and slacken the wires on either side, and then she fastened the anchors to the wires to create 2 lassos. "They didn't teach us this in the Cadet Corps," Ymir said. "I didn't learn how to use ODM gear in the Cadet Corps," Himmel said, and then she threw both of the spinning lassos to catch the nearest 2 men. She yanked as she yelled, "Into the trees!" The 2 she had hooked screamed and spluttered in shock and stumbled in the air, but they managed to shoot their own grapples into trees, and then Himmel pressed the triggers to release the grapples and reel them back in. The remaining 2 on the ground were panicking. "You're Himmel and Ymir, aren't you?" one of them said. We're supposed to bring you in." Himmel hummed out her nose as she withdrew a blade and leveled it at them. "Did you offer your hearts already?" Both men swallowed. Behind her, Ymir sighed. "I should have known." "What?" "If you're not killing them, you're not with us." Himmel's heart sank down to the core of the earth, and she swirled to cut Ymir in the side with her blade, but Ymir jumped off the horse, spreading her hand out just enough that the sword sliced into her fingers. The forest lit up with the sickeningly familiar green and yellow lightning, and Himmel yelled, "Don't let her escape!" By the time the afterimage of the lightning had faded and Himmel could see fully, Ymir was already transformed and bounding deeper into the trees to find the 104th and Krista. "What's going on?" the men demanded. "Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck." She gave a low scream in the back of her throat as the frustration peaked. But now wasn't the time for reflection. Now was the time for action. "I'm on our side. The Colossal and Armored have Eden 4 kilometers back in the Titan Forest. They're waiting for me. They think I'm with them and that I'm bringing them ODM gear. They plan to take Eden to Shiganshina, and Ymir is heading off to find Krista Lenz, the blonde with blue eyes in the 104th. You must stop her from getting near Krista. 2 of you go back and relay that information to Ervin. 1 of you in the trees. Give me your gear so I can keep up the act." They were whirling from the information she slapped them with just now, but Himmel didn't have time for it to percolate. "Right the fuck now," she roared. The 2 still on horseback threw their fists to their hearts and spun around while 1 above hastened to take off their gear and toss it down to her. She tied it to the saddle of her horse with the spare cord of ODM gear wire around her forearm. "You guys get back onto a horse and report the same information," Himmel said. She lashed the horse and it whinnied in complaint but galloped through the trees in the direction they'd come. Himmel had chewed on her damn smile so much today that she could taste blood on her lips now, but she couldn't stop. How many promises had she made today? The promise to change her ways, the promise to Levi to come back, the promise to Ymir to look after Krista. How many would she be able to honor? Tears pricked her eyes, and she realized she couldn't remember the last time she'd cried during a job. She wasn't sure she'd ever cried during one. But then, she'd never had anything blow up in her face this spectacularly before. It was fine. She'd make this work. She'd come up with something. She'd bend reality itself to fit the curve of her blades if she had to. Levi always said her plans were shit, and though she would never admit it to him, she agreed. That was because she wasn't really a planner, she was a doer. Himmel always came up with a loose idea of how she wanted things to turn out. They never turned out that way, and then she reacted in the moment and cobbled something together. She felt that that was true to the ways of the world, and of humans in general. You could never count on a person to act the way you expected. They were an entire world unto themselves, and unless you traversed every mountain and stream that lay within them, they would always surprise you. That was one of the many reasons that Himmel had operated alone after Levi left. He was the only person whose mountains and streams she had memorized better than her own, and she didn't have the courage to adventure anymore. Back in the Titan Forest where Reiner and Bertolt were waiting with Eden, Himmel shot up into the trees when she saw the first Titan, the ODM gear clamped under an arm. "Where's Ymir?" they asked immediately. "Bad news," Himmel said, expression stormy. "She decided she doesn't want to die. She transformed and went to join the Survey Corps. They're going to be here soon. Hurry." "What?" the two of them said, disbelief and disappointment stark on their features. "She's selfish. You guys know that. She said she'd rather take her chances in the walls for a few more days than be killed by you. I had my hands full with the Survey Corps men we'd encountered, and she transformed and ran off." This was one hell of a bold bluff, and it would buckle the moment Ymir returned. Himmel could feel the seconds pass like sharp blades of grass across her skin. Could she wound the two of them when they were putting on the gear and their hands were busy? But if that wound allowed them to transform right here, they'd kill her immediately. She didn't think her swords would go through the armored's flesh, and Bertolt was a fierce fighter. Could she swipe Eden, who was still unconscious, and make a run back towards the rest of the quickly approaching Survey Corps? Perhaps. Though once they had the gear on, they would give chase or transform, and she wouldn't be able to outrun them when she was carrying Eden. There was always a chance that she would run into Ymir as well, and that wouldn't end well for them either. No, she had to keep up the ruse as long as she could. "Himmel, can you tie Eden onto me?" Bertolt said. "I thought I'd carry him," she said. "No, you're the best fighter out of the three of us. We need you to provide defense, and you can't do that with him strapped to you," Reiner said. "You're going to pit me against my people?" she hissed. Bertolt looked up from the strap across his chest that he was tightening. "I thought you decided to come with us, to join us. Are you having second thoughts?" "No, I just didn't expect this." Fuck. If she had been able to keep Eden with her, she could have escaped with him the moment an opportunity presented itself. But it was clear that Bertolt and Reiner had discussed their plans while she was gone with Ymir, and they made sense. She was a better fighter than Bertolt, and the members of the 104th, at the very least, would hesitate with her more than them. Her lips wouldn't stop bleeding. She continued to gnaw on them under her bandana as she lashed Eden to Bertolt's back and made sure he was secure. "All right, let's go," Reiner said. They were doing this. She was doing this. A little voice was screaming at her to stop everything, to do absolutely anything other than shoot her grapples into a tree in the distance and head southward, but she fired and soared through the forest with these two traitors and her friend. Eden was still out cold, his arm regenerated to the wrist and foot to the ankle. It wouldn't be much longer until he could transform. Could she use that? She hadn't wanted to rely on Eden because he was too emotional and unpredictable. This was why she had needed Ymir from the fucking start, but then she had gone and become the most unpredictable out of the entire bunch. Once they reached the southernmost tip of the forest, Reiner shot out of the trees high in the air and bit down on his hand. Bertolt and Himmel hung back in the trees, and then the two of them latched onto the armor's shoulders and began sprinting. It felt like riding atop a landslide. Her entire body shook with each step he took, and she could feel the intense heat welling up through the soles of her boots. And when she put a hand against his head to steady herself a bit more, she gasped. It almost felt as if he had burnt her, but when she pulled away her hand, she couldn't see anything unusual, even though the fire remained, prickling her skin and making all of her veins feel as though embers were coursing through them. "Are you all right?" Bertolt asked. Himmel saw that he had a hand knotted in the armored, spiky gray hair, completely unperturbed. Maybe other shifters were immune to the fire. Maybe she was losing her fucking mind. Maybe both. But she would lose her footing if she didn't hold on, so she groaned as she fisted the armored's hair, and her bones seared. It was spreading very slowly, like lead through cream, up her arm. In a faraway part of her mind reserved for panic, she wondered what would happen when it reached her heart. "Sorry, it's my first time," she said. "You'll get used to it," Bertolt said, and he gave her a small smile that held all the hope a person could bear. She realized now that Bertolt and Reiner were terrified, caught between the world of their hometown and the world of the walls. Their hearts were split across both and crying out to be reunited, but once put back together, they would never be whole again. They may have come here to destroy the walls, but they had accidentally grown to love the people within them. Leaving today wasn't easy for them, because they knew that on top of leaving Annie to fend for herself, they were leaving half of themselves behind to wither in the summer sun. When they reached their hometown, they would be plagued with dreams of friends whom they had betrayed in the most egregious ways, of sweet memories turned poisonous and for which there was no antidote. But if Himmel were with them, if someone from the walls whom they trusted and cared for made the journey and paid the same toll of half their heart, they would have the selfish peace of mind that they weren't the only devils, and that even if their sins were so grave they could never be atoned, at least someone else on the other side could carry the same sin and lighten the load. It was so strange. Himmel knew both that the Armored and Colossal were Reiner and Bertholdt, and that the Armored and Colossal had been the ones to destroy Shiganshina, Maria, and Trost. These two facts were indelible, and she did not question them, and yet, when she tried to combine them to equal Reiner and Bertholdt were the ones to destroy Shiganshina, Maria, and Trost, her brain stuttered and ground to a halt. Reiner and Bertholdt were two boys she'd spent the last 3 years beside, risking her life with, laughing with, getting drunk with at inns on occasion. How could two people this good do something so terrible? Her mind simply couldn't meld these two images into one. Himmel understood why Reiner's psyche had split. She could feel herself breaking with the simple task of trying to understand these two's existence. "I wish it didn't have to be this way," she said quietly. If Bertholdt and Reiner had been born in the walls, they would have gotten along so well, and no one would have to hurt today. Or maybe different people would hurt in different ways. "Do you think they'll catch up?" Bertholdt asked her. The horses had rounded the forest, and they were small dots in the distance, but they were gaining ever so slightly. Himmel said, "The 104th will, at the very least." Bertholdt's expression crumpled. "I was really hoping we wouldn't have to see them." It wasn't that he wanted to avoid a fight. He knew that the next time he saw his comrades, they would be seeing him and Reiner for the betrayers that they were. If they managed to escape now, the memories of those 3 years could remain in a glass case, untouched by the warping hands of fractured trust and gangrenous fury. The moment they saw the looks of hurt and hate on their former friends' faces, the final wisps of the fantasy these two had enshrouded themselves in would blacken and wither. "I don't understand why you did what you did to the walls," Himmel said, "and I don't know why your hometown sent you here when you were children to do something so atrocious. I can't forgive what you did, but I'm sorry it fell to you." Bertholdt wiped at his eyes, and his eyelids fluttered as he tried to blink back any other tears before they could fall. "When Reiner admitted everything to you on the wall, I thought he'd lost it. I thought, of all the people to confess it to, you were the absolute worst, that you'd send our heads rolling before we could scream. But you really have been a big sister to us, unconditionally. Even if it turns out the whole Rucker thing is just a bunch of fairy tales, we'll do everything we can to repay you. We'll make you happy, I swear it." It didn't matter if they made it to their hometown. Himmel's heart had already cracked in two. "You know," she said, swallowing down the lump in her throat, "there's still the matter of Annie." He jumped as though he'd been shot at, his guilt darkening his brow. "I know. She probably has no idea this is happening." "If you want, I could get her out of the walls. I could get her to Trost, and from there we can make it to Shiganshina if she transforms. She's a good long-distance runner. I could maybe even get Krista and Ymir, though I can't guarantee them." "You'd do that for us?" There was an incredulous but inextinguishable hope in his eyes, and she felt Reiner move beneath her feet in reaction to her words. "Yeah," she said, feeling more certain with every word. "I would. Her dad is waiting for her, right?" Bertholdt blinked. She promised him she'd come back. The horses were getting closer, and there was one breaking out of the formation, galloping at speeds that were not maintainable. Himmel couldn't tell who it was, but they would be the first soldier Himmel had ever killed with her own hands. "What if it's Levi?" a small voice whispered. "Are you really going to put the lives of these murderers over Connie and Sasha and Jean and Armin and Mikasa and Eren? What have these two done that makes their lives worthier than all the others? Are they really your people?" "If you want me to do it, you need to tell me now. I'll have to pretend to turn on you," Himmel said. "Please," Bertholdt said, and they both seemed surprised by how immediate his response was. All right, Shiganshina, within a month, I'll bring Annie to you, and whoever else on the list that I can manage. If we don't come back with Eden or Krista, it'll be bad, Bertolt said. You can't go back empty-handed, Himmel nodded. I'll do my best. Every inch of her body had soaked up the heat from Reiner, and, for the first time in days, the confusion had cleared. It was all as easy to read as words etched into stone. These devils weren't to blame. It was the people who had made them devils. And Himmel realized that if she went with Reiner and Bertolt, she'd have a chance to get back at them. She'd see that everyone got their comeuppance. Right. Take out your blade and slash me up good, she said. What? Don't be scared. I'll take out my swords and we'll make it look like I'm fighting you for Eden, but you'll cut me right down the chest, good and deep. Trust me, I won't die. Eden's eyelids were twitching. He was going to wake up soon. It looked like he probably hadn't heard what they had discussed, and Himmel hoped for both of their sakes that she was right. She drew her blades and smiled at Bertolt, who was still reluctant to harm her. Come on, you know it has to be convincing, and that one's getting close. It has to be now. Time it so they have to grab me instead of fighting you, and it'll buy you some time. I don't want to kill you, Bertolt said. We need you. Trust in the fairy tales, she whispered. And then she lunged at him with a sword. He gave a cry of surprise that was very unlike him, but then he remembered that he was a warrior with a mission, and this wasn't difficult compared to the other things they'd done. He met her blade, shoved it away, and with the other made for her gut. Himmel laughed as she twirled out of the reach of the blade and spun in for another attack that he blocked with one shaking arm as he brought the other straight down between her raised arms, slicing down her front beautifully. He had aimed it well so that it hadn't severed the ODM gear belt below her collarbones, but it hadn't pierced deep enough to reach organs. The burn was intense, and she could feel her uniform growing wet and warm with her own blood. Very good, she smiled. One more and it'll be convincing. You're crazy. You'll bleed out. I won't, I promise you. Fight me back or I'll injure you for real. Make it look good for our audience. She rushed him again, and he nearly lost his footing. She could see the confusion in his eyes that many of her human opponents wore before they died. How is she still moving? It's too much blood. What is she? But she didn't care if he thought she was a monster. None of that mattered anymore, because they were all monsters. He fended her off, and she went in for another attack, but he swept one of his titan blades upward and made a deep cut through the meat of her left thigh. Instantly, she lost the ability to put weight on it as the pain ripped through her and she hissed through her teeth. Perfect. Release my anchors, she said. If you fall from this height, trust, she said fiercely. Bertolt steeled himself and with a grunt hit her ODM gear wires with the flat edges of the blade to force them out of the armored's flesh, and Himmel found herself falling, looking up at the fiery sky and Bertolt's frenzied expression. 15 meters, it turned out, was quite a height to fall from. It left a surprising amount of time to think. Strangely, though, all Himmel could think about was how beautiful today's sunset was and how already she could feel the warmth from Reiner dripping out of her. What a shame. It had felt like she had a second sun inside her, and without it she would lose her way. Her thighs kissed the earth first, and a millisecond later the rest of her body crashed and crumpled. She would have screamed if she had any air left in her lungs. How many bones had she broken just now? Her entire body radiated some of the most intense pain she'd ever experienced, and she couldn't feel her legs, nor could she move either arm. Well, shit. She couldn't exactly fix herself if she couldn't use her fucking arms. Himmel tried to draw in air to yell for help, but, to her horror, she realized that ribs had perforated her lungs. She couldn't take in a full breath, and when she tried, her body seized in vicious coughs that compounded the pain and spread even more red onto the grass. She tried to whisper, just to see if it was still possible, but she couldn't get enough air in to do even that. Over the pain, she felt a fear so vast it surged over her like a great wave of water and smacked her numb. She had no way of telling anyone how to bring her back. The shooting star that had broken ahead of the rest of the soldiers was approaching. She could hear the pounding of the hooves over the pounding of blood in her head, and she tried to raise a hand, but couldn't. She managed to lift her head just enough to see none other than Mikasa, staring down at her in abject shock. And then the shock dropped from her face. She shed it like an old skin, and her face turned into the mask of a demon as she charged onwards. As her eyes slipped shut and her hold on this world became tenuous, Himmel wished the last thing she'd seen could have been Levi. And that's the end of the chapter. Thanks so much for listening. I've got to say, this was a really tricky chapter to write because there's a lot of important things happening to all the characters, and I really want to slow down and give them time while also keeping the pace up. So I also had to walk a really fine line with how Himmel views Bertolt and Reiner because, you know, they really fucked up everything in the walls, but also they were kids and they were just ordered to do that. So how right is it to hate them? So obviously Himmel can't condone what they did, but having been close friends with them for 3 whole years, it must be really hard for her to reconcile. So yeah, I hope that you liked the little plot twist at the end, and there's a little bit of ambiguity as to which side Himmel's on, whether she's gonna help Reiner and Bertolt, or, you know, if she's gonna stay with the people in the walls. And yeah, I hope that you guys enjoyed this. Hoping to get more chapters uploaded soon as well, so look forward to that. Thanks for listening. Catch you later. Bye-bye.